Okay, then verse 70, though always living in solitude, I am swept away by distraction. Through receiving scriptures of holy dharma, I nurture divination and shamanism. Dance and trample on the head of this betrayer, false conception. Mortally struck at the heart of this butcher, the enemy, the self. Okay, Dharma Rakshita is going at it. You know, though always living in solitude, okay? The hermit, yeah? The yogi, the person who's going off to live in the cave, or, you know, even off to live in a nice, comfortable retreat hut, you know, wherever you go off to live, you know, I'm going to live in solitude. But in actuality, swept away by distraction. Yeah, so you go off, you go to live in solitude, but you got to go out and get something in town that you forgot, you know, or you have to write a letter to somebody here, or, you know, you got a premonition that somebody's sick, so you need to call them on the telephone. Or, you know, you really need more of this and that and the other thing. Or, you know, so the mind thinks of 10 godzillion things. Yeah? So always thinking of excuses. So, you know, we're theoretically supposed to be in retreat and solitude, but in actual practice, you know, we're out wandering around in town, talking on the phone, writing emails, you know, cruising the internet, watching television in the break times of the retreat, you know, all sorts of things like that. Or even if you aren't doing that, you know, you look like a great, you know, you're staying in your retreat hut, you're not, you know, outside at the cyber cafe or anything. But your mind's completely filled with distraction, you know, thinking about, you know, this good-looking guy and this person and what you're going to do after retreat and hoping that all these people, you know, hoping all the people who didn't respect you before know that you're in retreat doing very concentrated meditation and gaining realizations. You know, dreaming of all the people you're going to teach after your retreat who are now going to honor and respect you. You know, hoping that people will send you, you know, some more money or more offerings or a new blanket or whatever. You know, my teachers always said that when you go and meditate, you know, giving up attachment to food and, you know, your external living situation, they say that is very easy compared to giving up attachment to reputation. You know, that you can be satisfied with the food, satisfied with simple accommodation, but your mind is still hoping that the people down in town know what you're doing and you know, are talking about how good you are and how glorious you are and that they're going to treat you well and show you respect when you get out of retreat. Okay, so mind, you know, body's in solitude, mind is off roaming the world. Okay? Yeah, self-centered thought, isn't it? Self-grasping ignorance. Okay, though receiving scriptures of holy dharma, I nurture divination and shamanism. Okay, so we go to dharma centers, we go to monasteries, we hear the great scriptures. What do we practice? Not what the great scriptures teach. We do divination, we do shamanistic practices, we worship spirits, we go to mediums, we go to channelers, we do tarot cards, we go to psychics, you know, we go to have our third eye opened. Barbara and I were at this holistic fair, and she had a Reiki booth, and I had a little Dharma booth, you know. And the guy across from where I was, you know, you went in there, he had a special golden tent and a special machine. And for $5, he will open your third eye. And then on both sides of where we were, you know, we just had, you know, some of the books out, you know, and flyers and things. There was a psychic on this side and a psychic on that side. The psychic's continuously busy. The people who came to our little thing to look at Dharma books, you know, talk to a monastic, not so many. The psychics, they were so busy. And I watched them, you know. And it was so interesting watching the people who went to the psychics, you know, because the psychic, you know, there was one guy, he did something with astrology or something. So sometimes he'd have to look some things up or, you know, look down in his little book. The people who went at him were looking at him like this. I mean, they were completely mesmerized, you know, not taking their eyes off, because he was talking about their favorite subject. Me. You know, I mean, why do you go to a psychic? So they tell you all about you. You don't go to a psychic so that they tell you about somebody else. That's boring, you know. You go to a psychic. And they were just like totally mesmerized by these psychics. Okay, so, you know, we hear the whole holy dharma, but where do we go when we need advice? We go to the fortune teller. We go to tarot cards. We look in the New Age newspaper, you know. We go to some past life, somebody, something, you know. Okay, all the dharma advice we ever heard, gone. Give me some crystals instead. Yeah? So, you know, we fall ill, you know. You know, give me some crystals or do some ritual. But, you know, don't ask me to confess and purify my negative karma, which is the source of the illness. You know, or do some meditation on loving kindness or something like that. So, you know, it's getting at, you know, that our refuge, you know, we think we have refuge, but when push comes to shove, when we're in a difficult situation, we look for quick fixes from beings or things that don't really know much. Okay, 71. Forsaking ethical discipline, the path to liberation, I cling to my household. Throwing my happiness into a river, I chase after misery. Dance and trample on the head of this betrayer, false conception. Mortally strike at the heart of this butcher, the enemy, the self. Okay, so forsaking ethical discipline, the path to liberation, I cling to my household. Okay, so this could be directed towards two people. One is somebody who's already a householder, who's clinging to their household and forsakes the path of ethical discipline in order to accumulate wealth and protect their family and so on and so forth. You know, because you have to do a certain amount of lying and stealing and, you know, backbiting and stuff like that to have a, you know, to increase your financial status or your status in society. So that verse, so that line could be directed towards somebody who's a householder, who's not keeping the five precepts. It also can be directed to somebody who's a monastic who disrobes. Okay, forsaking ethical discipline, the path to liberation, I cling to my household. So somebody who's a monastic who has that fortune, you know, to practice the path, but instead what they do is they, you know, they want to have a family and kids and, you know, a TV and a mortgage and a house and a motorcycle and a this and a that and the other thing. So they leave their fortune in the monastery to go and seek worldly success. Okay? Happens, doesn't it? Okay, so you know, that's a great loss when that happens, because again, I mean, you can really see how strong the vision of this life is. You know, I mean, this life appears so real and so strong, and we are so attached to it that, and you know, enlightenment, liberation, even next rebirth. It's just like floating concepts in the air, something very vague, you know? And so, you know, for somebody with this kind of outlook, you know, why keep ethical discipline? Why be a monastic when you can have the pleasures of a householder life? Yeah? Because the vision of this life is so strong. Okay? So it needs, I think, a tremendous amount of meditation on the Four Noble Truths and some kind of conviction in rebirth and in karma to begin to restrain ourselves and work more for future lives and liberation and enlightenment, and take those as viable things that exist in the world that, you know, we want to head for. Okay? Throwing my happiness into a river, I chase after misery. Okay? So you have that happiness of, you know, having the fortunate conditions to do intensive Dharma practice, but you throw that into a river and, you know, you chase after household life. Yeah? With everything that entails. So, you know, he's really hitting here at, I think, people who are thinking of disrobing and saying, wake up. You know, look at what you're doing. Okay, so dance and trample on the head of this betrayer, false conception, mortally struck at the heart of this butcher, the enemy, the self. Okay, so for somebody who has the chance to be a monastic, then casting that aside and looking for worldly goods is, you know, it's like, you know, it's worse than throwing a bag of gold into the river, or worse than, you know, giving up your credit line, or yeah, giving up that opportunity, you know, to live in precepts and to practice, you know, simply because you want some kind of worldly happiness is, you know, is a tremendous tragedy for the individual and I think for the world, actually. You know, I mean, when somebody has the mind that wants to be ordained and that is ordained and is practicing that way, we should do our best to encourage that person in that kind of practice, you know, and not say things like, you know, oh, don't be extreme, or you know, loosen up a little bit, or you're running away from relationships, or, you know, sex can be the path to enlightenment too. Oh, you see, there's an article in Tricycle, you know, love, sex, and realization. I read no more than the title. But, you know, I mean, this is what people say. So, those people who say that should not be us, okay? So dance and trample on the head of this betrayer, false conception, mortally strike at the heart of this butcher, the enemy, the self. Yeah. What's interesting is, you know, people may be Buddhist, but when their kids want to ordain, then all of a sudden it's a different matter. Yeah, I mean, I saw that, you know, when I lived in Singapore, you know, there's so much faith in the Sangha, but not my kid. They're not going in the monastery. You know, I want grandchildren. Yeah? I want somebody who's going to take care of me when I'm old. Mm-hmm. And also here, I see it, in the West, too. You know, the parents are Buddhist, but when their child, you know, wants to become a monastic, well, no, you know, you shouldn't do that. You know, you should live a normal life. We're in the West, after all. You're not, you know, living in Tibet, just have a normal life here and practice Dharma, you know. So, how did I get on that? Okay. What I'm trying to say is when somebody has that fortune, support them, because what they're doing is a benefit to the world.